as I come to this passage today in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, I feel like as I was in Hong Kong back in 1989, and we'd walk through an airport or walk through some kind of a mall, and you'd see signs everywhere that had been mopped, beware, beware of wet floors. It was not just watch out or heads up, it was beware. And before us today in John's letter, beginning with verse 18, we're actually beginning with verse 15, he's saying, beware of the influence of the world. Watch out. Danger. Don't be influenced by it. It can destroy you. And now today it's talking about false teachers and how they can destroy us if we're not careful. And so it's like that beware sign this morning from the Apostle John. Follow along as I read several passages. Actually, the first one is from chapter 2, 1 John 2, 18 through 27. And then I'll be turning over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We'll just read these together today. It's interesting how John develops. He touches on a theme, and then he goes around and talks about some other things. Then he comes back around and talks about that again. And so here we deal with the first thoughts about false teachers, or as he refers to in this particular text, antichrists, which is referring to false teachers. Follow along, 1 John 2:18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. And the idea here is you have no one should teach you any further beyond what the Word of God has already taught you. You don't have to have any special teaching from these false teachers. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true, it is no lie. Just as it has been taught you, abide in him. And then chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, but by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word today, may you, through your Holy Spirit, make these truths clear to our minds. May we be open to what you have for us today. May we be willing to listen. May we apply. May we heed the warning that is before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message today, Watch Out for Fool's Gold, and you'll see the connection in just a moment. For those that don't know me, I enjoy westerns. I like movies about cowboys and pioneer days. You know, I think back at the time, and growing up in upstate New York, we didn't have cowboys, but life was tough as we wintered, as we went through the winters, and my dad still gets in all the wood and the sawmills and the farm and all of that. But can you imagine what it was like back in pioneer days and back in the days of cowboys, Indians, outlaws, disease, the elements, building a fire, trying to keep from the Indians from seeing your fire and trying to stay alive from the cold? You had to go out and get your food. They didn't have McDonald's or Filet of, you know, or Chick-fil-A nearby. You had to go out and kill your game, then skin it, and then cook it. I mean, life was tough. And usually in that process of seeing those movies, which I enjoy, and stories of Daniel Boone and all of that, somewhere in the storyline there were usually men that were panning for gold. And there were people trying to steal the ones that got the gold. And then there were men that were trying to maintain it and keep it. There were times when they thought they had just gotten a gold rush and they were excited, but it only turned out to be fool's gold. And so there was that challenge and that difficulty. And maybe you've seen pictures like this in some of the movies you've watched. But there's a lot of intrigue that goes along with that as people are searching for gold. But there's a challenge, as sometimes you think you have the right thing, but you have this stuff called pirate. In fact, that's why it's known as fool's gold, because it was pirated. Okay, pretty bad. All right? But you think you have the real stuff, but you don't, and it's worthless. And your hope, you take that in, and you're all excited about it. You go in and looking forward to that money, and they say, it's not the real deal. It's just fool's gold. I remember in the movies watching how people would take the coins as the cowboy would come up to, not the saloon, of course, we're not going to emphasize that, come up to the general store counter and pay his for the goods that he just had, the new outfit that he had. And what does the person at the counter do? They take that coin and what do they do with it? Bite it, okay? Why do you do that? To check to see if it's the real deal. I understand, I've never done it before, and later on, as I realized, these ones at the Olympics, when they get their gold medal and they're there with their teeth going in, they're leaving marks in it sometimes. I mean, you realize that, because if it's true, if it's gold, not fool's gold, it's going to be soft, and you can actually indent if you put your fingernail in it, or if you bite into it, it'll leave the indentation. If it's not the real deal, they would bite it, and it would crumble, or they'd break a tooth off. Now, you wouldn't want to do that too many times before you had some problems. But you checked to see if it was the real deal. No one wants to get fool's gold. As we think about today, actually, this week I purchased a book by John MacArthur. It's entitled Fool's Gold, Discerning Truth in an Age of Error. And the book reminds us of the great danger of fool's gold. And what he's bringing out is substitutes, not the real deal. Because this has, when we deal with truth and error, if you succumb to error or believe in error, it has eternal consequences. There is a battle today raging, and has been for a long time, since Christ was on the earth and since he went back to heaven. A battle has raged between truth and error. John MacArthur in his book writes this: God's word makes it clear that not everything that glitters is true gold. Doctrinal error abounds at every turn. The temptation to embrace it is great, and the stakes involved are eternal. God calls us as his people to distinguish what is good from what is bad. And that's why we need biblical discernment. As I was sharing my thoughts about my sermon with my wife this last week, she has to hear it twice. No, actually, I was just sharing a little bit about this, and I was sharing about the illustration of biting on the coin to see if it was real or not. So she asked me the question, So do we have to bite the false teachers? No, we don't have to bite the false teachers to see whether they're true or not. But some of the statements that we often hear, some of your friends or coworkers may say something like this: my friends go to church, and all churches teach about God. Basically, they all teach the same thing. Is that right or not? Is that truth or error?
Error.
How about this one? All religions lead ultimately to the same reality. It doesn't matter which road you take to get there, as long as you follow your chosen road faithfully. Don't be critical of the alternative roads other people choose. What is that, class?
Error.
It's not true. The next one that we give: God doesn't care what you believe just as long as you are sincere.
Error.
Not true. You know what? You can be sincere about something, but be sincerely wrong. A nurse who gives the wrong meds, and we have a lot of nurses here today, if you give the wrong meds, a patient may have serious problems. Sincerity does not make it right. A man wanting to go to New York, if you're going west on the Kennedy, you will not get to New York. I just remember, as we've given instructions to our boys to go off to New York or off to college, I'm trying to give them an idea besides the garment to know how to handle going east or west. Very important. I mean, you could go west to go to my dad's in upstate New York, but it will take you a lot longer to get there. So it's really important to go the direction, the right way, by the truth. In fact, Christ said very important words. We looked at the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount last year. And here he writes some very important truths for us to know. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Obviously the answer is no. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. A false teacher will not come to you, whether it's on TV or through a book or through speaking at a large get-together, and they will not say, "By the way, I am a false teacher. I just wanted to let you know that." No, they smile, they look wonderful, they're very persuasive. So you cannot judge a false teacher by the size of their church, by how many books they write, or by their personality. We have to, and I don't want to steal what I'm going to say later, we have to know the Word of God. We have to know what is fool's gold and what is true gold. We have to know what is error and what is truth. And so here's the big idea that I really want to get across. At least get this, and you'll get the message. Satan uses false teachers to feed people his lies. Believers must not settle for Satan's substitutes, counterfeits, and lies, especially as it relates to the person of Jesus Christ. God has given us help so that we can recognize and combat the lies and stand on the truth. That's in a nutshell what my sermon is about, but still stay with me as we work our way through this passage in 1 John. Let me ask you a question. Who is the most vulnerable to error? Who is the most vulnerable to error? I think John kind of gives us a little bit of an indication, even in the way that he addresses those that he's writing to. He writes using these words: children, or little children. Little children, I'm writing these things to you because you are vulnerable. And I believe he's talking here about new, young, immature believers in the faith. Now, obviously, those that are more mature in the faith can be taken in and deceived as well. But those who are young or new or untaught believers are very vulnerable to this today, and we must be on guard. We must be very careful here. It's like John is sitting down and having a family talk. As an older man who has been through it all, who has seen the resurrected Christ, who walked with him, talked with him, felt him, leaned against him in the times together, he's now kind of drawing us around and saying, I've got some really important words for you to know. And he uses some key words or key phrases here in our text before us that we need to understand. He's talking about the last hour. Some of your versions may be last days. And it's the idea that since his first coming until he returns again, these are the last days or the last hour. It's a sense of urgency. We need to be alert because the Lord could come back at any moment and we need to be ready. Today is the day of salvation. I have heard so many people say, well, I can just put God off until later. I'll wait until I'm ready for the grave and then I will consider him. No, we never know. We never know. We have another day. In fact, think about that man that was in his bedroom in that house, and all of a sudden a hole opened up under his bedroom and there goes his bed. I mean, you talk about scary. Wow. There, he was just gone. And you've probably followed that somewhat in the news. I mean, we never know what a day may bring forth. So we need to be on guard. We need to know the truth of God's word while there is time. Also, the terms that are used here, a term antichrists. And I would like us to know there is a difference between the Antichrist and antichrists. During the time of the tribulation at the end of the world, as we know it now, during the time that is going to be a horrible time of tribulation, when men will just wish that the mountains will fall on them, during that time there will be one who is the Antichrist, the one who sets himself up in Jerusalem and says, I am Christ. But here in this text we're talking about there are many Antichrists now. From the time that Christ came until the time he comes back, where there are a lot of, it's referring to false teachers, a term that is used uniquely by John to tell us about those, and he calls them as ones who are anti, either against him or coming instead of him and saying, we are the ones, we are the Messiah. We need to be on guard. Dan, I'll let you take it from here, okay? So as we work our way through. How do you recognize a false teacher? In the text before us, we find that there are some three things that we can know from this text about how to recognize, how to detect a false teacher or ones that are in the spirit of Antichrist. Number one, they abandon the fellowship of believers. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. I believe there's a sense in which we as believers want to be together. We want to grow together. We love one another. We care for each other. We're there and there holding things together. And here it talks about these ones that are not believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, they are antichrists or false teachers. They can't hang around the body of Christ very much. They have to go off and either start their own cult or just go to another place and hopefully deceive them there. But usually there's a selfish motive. They have their own agenda. They don't believe the truths in the Word of God, which we'll consider next. But as I considered, as I thought back and read about some of the cults of our day, many of them used to be in churches, organized churches, Presbyterian churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches. And then they departed from that and they went out and formed their own groups. The Moonies and Sun Yun Moon, Joseph Smith with Mormonism, William Miller with the Seventh-day Adventist, and Charles Russell with Jehovah's Witness. Many of these were in established churches and organized churches that somewhat taught the truth, but they went out and they changed their beliefs. Second, how do you recognize a false teacher? Secondly, they reject the body of truth. Oh, maybe not all of it, but some of it, and especially as it relates to the person of Jesus Christ. They will start questioning. In fact, it's almost as if Satan, back in the Garden of Eden, as he approaches Eve, and he says, "Has God said?" They start to question the Word of God and its authority in their life. It has errors. It's nothing but an antique book. And that's why it's helpful in life group time that we're studying about the Word of God and the uniqueness of the Bible. Very distinct book. George Miller brought out this morning, he said, it's the most hated book in the world, but it's the bestseller. Isn't that a unique thing? In fact, in China, as I mentioned in our Sunday school time, they have tried to take the Bible away, and they don't want people to teach the Bible. They want them to teach what the government wants them to hear. Something about the Word of God they realize is different, and so they want to undermine it or take it away. And so when you start having someone who's questioning the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, or the fact that His death was substitutionary or in our place, and they start evaluating that and critiquing it and saying it's not right, you know you have a false teacher on your hands. Jesus was not just a good example or a prophet, a good prophet, or just a good man. And they start evaluating. There's no heaven and no earth. And you often hear some of these false teachers say that man is good. Man is basically good. You know what, folks? If you never hear anything about sin or the sinfulness of man, why would you need a Savior? Why would you need a Savior if man is so good, he can get to heaven on his own? You don't need a Savior, and it just does not make sense, and it causes great confusion. Third, how do you recognize a false teacher? They abandon the fellowship, they reject the truth, and they deceive or mislead others. Here in our text before us, it is said there in verse 26, I write these things, John says, about those who are trying to deceive you or mislead you. 2 Corinthians 11, the verses here on the screen before you, for such men are false teachers, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. I find it interesting that as some of these false teachers of our day, and again, there are so many, it's amazing. I was looking through a particular website yesterday that is trying to expose some of these false teachers of our day. And some of them had video clips where they were interviewing some of these very popular men and women today. And they asked them, why are you living such lavish lifestyles? Why are you flying around in your jet and using poor people's money to carry on your ministry? And they said, that's none of your business. There was no accountability. They wanted to do their own thing, and they didn't want to be responsible to anyone. In fact, I looked at a video clip where it showed two men, two pastors on staff, and this will never happen here, I can guarantee it. They had everybody bring in all their cash and just lay it up on the steps, and it showed these two men just running through the money in glee, running back and forth and laughing hilariously and just prancing around on the money and kicking the money in the air. And more people kept dropping money all over the stage, just covered everywhere. Wow, that shouldn't be too difficult to recognize a false teacher. To me, that screams of greed. I want your money. And they prance around in their unbelievably expensive suits, and they have their lavish buildings and their lavish jets. And again, it doesn't mean that jets are bad and expensive suits are bad, but oh my goodness, what a waste. To me, it is nothing but a false teacher, and especially the things, health, wealth, and happiness. If you just give your life to Jesus, you will have continual health. You will be wealthy. Oh, and everything will go well with you. That is not my Bible. The Word of God does not say that anywhere. In fact, you know what it says? You're going to have a hard road. You're going to face persecution. This world will not like you. In fact, in chapter 4, where it talked about the world loves that teaching. It accepts it. It embraces it because that's what they believe too. They're of the world. We have to be so careful, be on guard. Well, I believe there are two safeguards mentioned in the text before us in chapter 2. The first safeguard to combat against error is the help of the Word of God from without. Notice what it says in verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides, makes its home in you, settles within you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And by the way, you cannot say, I don't like Jesus, but I want God. You can't have both. And it makes it very clear in these passages I read before you. If you leave out Jesus, the most important ingredient in the salvation of mankind, you cannot have a relationship with God. There's no way. You have the Son, then you have the Father. You leave out the Son, you cannot have God the Father or call God your Father. And so here in the text before us, it talks about John is saying, remember the truths that you learned from the beginning. When you began your journey of faith, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, I taught you the truth, or the apostles taught you this truth. You need to remain in it. You need to live in it. It needs to be a part of your life. It needs to change your life. Harry Ironside, I don't usually give too many quotes by him, but he said this, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. And it's the idea, if people are always coming up with new truth, new discoveries, oh, you don't have it right. You haven't had it right for 2,000 years. But I have something that'll change your life. No, you need to be very skeptical of anything like that. We need to be in the Word of God. In chapter 4, look at it later, but really this is like putting it to the test, testing whether things are true. And we need to be doing that all the time. We need to be judging the things that someone says. Is it true? What they're writing in their books, what they're saying on TV, what the videos, the DVDs, the MP3 files, all these kind of stuff. We have to be so careful. We need to put them to the test. I love what it says about the Church of Berea. They were searching these things to see whether they were right. They were checking them out in the early apostles. And they were commended for doing that, the church at Berea. That is why the local church is so crucial, to train and to teach God's Word. That is why we encourage you to join a life group. It's not just to add something else to your schedule. It is so that you will be trained in God's Word. That is why we make God's Word a priority and need to make it a priority in our family life and in our personal walk with God. We need to know it. We need to study it. We need to learn where to go to find out the answers. The Word of God is crucial to our lives. That is how you know whether something is error or not. When you pick up a book at the library, when you go to the internet and you're ready to download that book onto your Kindle, do you know what that author is teaching? Do you know what that TV evangelist is saying? We need to be on guard. We need to know the truth. Do you know the Bible well enough to spot a counterfeiter? I think the best way you can spot a counterfeiter, I've heard, is that you know the real thing so well that when the false gold comes along, you just know it. You can smell it. It just doesn't seem right. Number two, not only do we have the safeguard of the Word of God in our hands from without, but we also have the help of the Holy Spirit from within. Verse 20 and verse 27 remind us of that. Notice what it says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." You have the knowledge that you need from Him. He will teach you. He will instruct you. Verse 27, "But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you." The idea, you don't have any need for new teaching. outside of what God's Word has already taught. And the Holy Spirit will enable you. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe, you now have the Holy Spirit resident in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 reminds us of that. What, you know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit comes in and He teaches you and He instructs you. He convicts you about sin and He leads you in the truth. And so even as we preach and teach this morning, the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and taking that truth and applying them to where they need to be applied in your life. Sometimes I have preached the Word of God and afterwards I'm standing down the front and I'm talking to you and someone will come up and say, "Wow, Pastor, that truth changed my life and I need to go out and apply this." And I'm going, "I didn't even talk about that." That's the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life, taking the Word of God and then driving the truth home to your heart, and then you realize where it needs to be applied in your particular family or your particular life. Conclusion. As we think about this matter of fool's gold, false teaching, I'd like to give you three conclusions. Number one, we've emphasized it already. Study the Word of God. Be a student of God's Word. Take advantage of every opportunity you can to be involved in life group and Bible studies, women's Bible studies, men's time together, because it will help transform your mind and your life. Not because we have all the skills and abilities, but because God's Word has the answers. And as long as I'm using this as my guide in teaching and preaching, as long as our church holds that up as what we need to engage you with and you're thinking, we're on good, solid ground. We need to be teaching His Word. Be a student of it. Number two, don't support false teachers with your money or your time. Some will be sending things to you all the time. And you know what? If you just give money, I'll send you this prayer cloth and it'll have special anointing on you. I can't imagine what goes on in the back closet of those people that are putting those things in envelopes. Again, it's hard to just kind of think good about anything like that. But again, they're making all kinds of money on and giving you false hopes that I believe are against God's Word. Be careful. Don't support them with your time. And the idea is there, don't waste your time listening to them, watching them. And if you don't know whether someone is a false teacher or not, I'd be glad to talk with you. Pastor Jonathan would be glad to talk to you. And we talk about, we know of some that are just, it's detrimental to your life. You should never listen to them. And if you want to engage us about an individual or a teacher on television or radio or whatever, talk with us about that. We'd like to be able to give you, might be able to give you some helpful insight. Third, warn others of the danger of false teaching. If you know someone is involved in a cult, pray that God would give you an open door to talk to them so that they would not remain in that cult. There was a young man that came to our church, and some of you would know, I'm not going to give the name now, but came to our church, and every week he was being visited by a cult in the area, Jehovah's Witness. They were having Bible studies together. Very nice people, but the things that he was learning were totally contrary to the Word of God. In fact, they had a separate book, of course, that they go through and then explain away the Word of God. And so it was our joy to be able to see him engaged with the Word of God, and we challenged him, the things you're learning there, go to the Word of God, and as soon as you can, stop meeting with them, because they do not have the same view about Jesus Christ as what the Word of God teaches. And I'm glad to say that he pulled away from that and he put his trust in Jesus Christ. And really today he's going on in his faith because of that. And I'm just thankful that we can stand in the gap, wave our arms, put out the thing that says beware, beware of it. Because that's what we need. God, that's what John is screaming to us this morning. Beware of false teachers. They're all around. And if they were all around at his time, nearly 2,000 years ago, you can count on the fact that they have multiplied in our day and age. Be on guard. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we hear these truths that we might can look to ourselves and see where we need to apply it. And Father, if there are some today that are engaged in the materials and they have fallen in love with a false teacher, that I pray that they might go to the Word of God, they might run to the truth, the source of truth, and screen what they are doing, screen who are they listening to through the Word of God. And Lord, may we all be ready to give an account. May we all be eager students of Your Word and be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is fool's gold and what is real gold. And so guide us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name.